Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
What is your single greatest stress today? What's putting the most pressure on you today in your life? Let me suggest to you that it's one of two things: indecision or lack of control. Am I right? Something you can't decide, or it's out of control at the moment. I need to see your heads. I can't read your minds. Am I right? In your case?
Yes.
85% of the time or more, people say, that's it. What I'd like to share with you is a tool that I've used for the last 15 or 20 years. Every time I dial up in my thinking, what am I feeling at the moment? Something's wrong, what am I feeling? And the answer is, you're under tremendous pressure. You've got a lot of stress going on right now. There's a lot going on in your life. You're under a lot of pressure right now, or stress. Whenever I answer, that's the answer to what's going on right now, I moved to this concept for the last 15 or 20 years. This isn't a tool that I'm trying to make up for the moment. This is something I actually use all the time. Let me show you how it works. It's a visual concept. It's called the visual perspective chart. What I do is I get a big sheet of paper like this, a flip chart size piece of paper. If I don't have that, I use just an 8.5 by 11 or something. But what I do is I put a little stick figure here. Actually, what I do is I draw two of them, and that's me and that Cheryl. In other words, we're sort of in this world together. And then I draw a second circle around it, and I put God in here. And I say, basically, however I respond to this pressure we're in represents God to the outside world and to my daughter, my son, whoever's watching. But whatever the pressures out here have to come through God to get me. In other words, nothing hits me but what God has allowed it. Then I basically start listing the things that are pressurizing me. And I just list them in random order. I say, okay, this is, and this is, and this is, and I've got that to worry about and this to think about. And I basically just go through and list every single thing that I can think of that's bothering me. And sometimes I have to start putting in the middle. It's like when you get the feeling like I'm under a lot of pressure right now, actually there are typically a lot of things that are bothering you. It isn't just one thing. It's a lot of things. And why do I make it visual? I'll come back to this, but why do I make it visual? Let me tell you a quick story. Let's say, for example, your mother comes to you and says, I'd like to ask you to stop by the grocery store and buy me a few things. I say, great, I'd be happy to, Mom. She says, it's simple, a dozen things, a quart of milk, a loaf of bread, etc. But she said two things. Number one, you can't write it down. And number two, I don't need it till a week from Friday. You say, Mom, you don't understand the world I live in. I can't possibly remember that with all I've got going on in my world. She says, oh, honey, it's really important to me that you do it, and you can't write it down. I don't need it till then. I don't want it till then. If you want to accommodate your mother, you say, okay, well, I'll try. You know, I do the best I can. If you made that commitment, what would happen to your mind between now and a week from Friday? It'd be under pressure. It'd be all the things I'm trying to think of, and I can't forget that. And you wake up at 2 in the morning and say, oh, what was number 7 again? It'd just be roaming around your mind all the time. Now let's change the scenario just a little bit. Your mother hands you a list, a grocery list, and says, would you mind stopping by the store and picking this up a week from Friday? You put it in your day timer or whatever system you use. You don't think about it till a week from Friday. How often do you think about it between now and a week from Friday? You don't at all. Why? It's on paper. A part of what you've got going on in your head that's causing you pressure is you get so many things. You got a grocery list up here swirling around of pressures and things you got to deal with and thoughts you've got to think about, that it just becomes a swirl. You can't think about anything clearly. But the minute you can write it down and make it visual, once it's down, you can step back away from it and say, Wow, I have had a lot of pressures on me. I've got a lot of responsibility, etc. And then you can get more objective about what you're dealing with. The second thing is, some people are verbally oriented. Some people are visually oriented. Some people are numerically oriented. We know that. I mean, that's nothing new to you. But what I began to see a while ago is that some people are able to absorb visually, absorb verbally. Some people are absorbed numerically. But they also output the same way. Some people, if you have them think about it in their head, it never gets there from here. They have to see it on paper to be able to get it out of them. I'm saying just to put it on a paper visually helps some people more than others, actually. But I'm one that's visually oriented, and once I can see it, it helps me a lot to be able to just see the pattern of it in as large a sheet as possible. So this is the reason that you make it visual. And what I do is, well, I'll get to that under next steps. Perspective. You not only do perspective in terms of what's, you know, what the power, the pressure points are. You not only sort of make these things out in red, if you will, and you put these are things that are troubling me, or red spots to me. But you list your green areas as well. You list the things that, all right, as a part of perspective, it isn't all a problem. It isn't all just problems in my life. I've got this thing that's good, and I've got this thing that's good, and I've got this thing. I've got this thing that's good, and this thing, and this thing, and this thing. I've got a lot of good things that are going right now. It isn't just all pressure. A lot of things are going well as well. And then you basically start circling the things that are causing a lot of pressure on you. You say, all right, as I step back and look at it, I think the things that are really bothering me are this one, this one, this one, this one, and probably that one. I think those are the five things that are troubling me the most. Then, of the things that are troubling me the most, I think these three are the things that are troubling me more than most. And you step back again and think, you look at those three and think, you know what? This is the one that has got my undivided attention at the moment. Or that's putting the most pressure on me at the moment. And once you can identify what's putting the most pressure on you and deal with that first, you're going to find that a lot of pressure around the whole system is reduced dramatically. But as long as you've got it all just swirling like the grocery list in your mind, it all seems like it weighs 500 pounds each. But when you look at it, here's a 5-pounder and a 10-pounder and a 50-pounder, but this is the 500-pounder here. But they all feel like 500 pounds when they're in your head and you're trying to process them all at once. But once you can get it out on paper, see it visually, and get to where you can see what the number one is and deal with that boulder first, that's very helpful. Now, I'd suggest that this is not only a tool for you to use, it's a tool for you to use in your counseling. When someone comes in just overwhelmed by everything is going to hell in the handbasket, as they say, have them do this. Give them a big sheet of paper, set them at a table and have them do it. And then have them circle the things that are particular. And then help them as their pastor, as their counselor, as their friend, as their mentor, help them deal with this one first. And you're going to find that some of these other things begin to be a lot less important. I asked a client of mine one day who is pretty wealthy, I said, how do you decide to pay someone $500,000 or more a year salary? And he said, well, I never thought about it that way before. And I said, well, the jet doesn't leave until you get there, so take your time. How do you do it? He said, well, let me think. We sat there in silence for about 5 minutes. And when you're sitting in a room with a person thinking for 5 minutes, it seems like about 5 hours. But I'm comfortable with silence or tears, so I just sat there and waited. Pretty soon, I think I've got it. He said, the person that can build a great team for me is worth a lot of money to me. But he said, secondly, the person that put the right weight on the right variables is very valuable to me. And I said, give me one example of that. I think I know what you mean. Give me an example. He said, I don't want someone to put $1,000 worth of time on a nickel problem or a nickel's worth of time on a $1,000 problem. I said, got it. Never have to ask that again. What you're saying here is that's what I call wise judgment. You're judging, you're deciding, what is worthy? What's the 1,000-pounder here? And in your wise judgment, you basically identify, this is a nickel problem, that's a dime problem, but this is a $1,000 problem right here. I've got to solve that one first. Positive as well as negative, balance, because all is not lost. Circle the key elements, double, triple, quadruple. It prioritizes it quickly. And communicate with a confidant. In other words, this gives you the ability, if you want to go to a friend, a mentor, a friend, an advisor, a buddy, a pastor, whatever, and say, I'd like you to see just quickly what's in my world. I'm dealing with all these things right now, but this is the main one that I think has gotten me troubled the most. Could you help me deal with that? So they realize that your world is in a whole symphony of problems and pressures. But the one you really need or want to help with most is this one. Then it helps them understand where your life is in general and how to help you in specific. Red, yellow, and green, not all pressures are the same. Remember, some are positive as well as negative. Focus on the positive. And with group use. What I mean by that is this. What I mean by group use is you can do the same thing with the subject, with a group, to say, we've got a lot of problems here at the church. We've got a lot of problems here at the organization. We've got a lot of problems we're dealing with. We got angry donors. We got this. We got this. It just feels like everything is coming at us all at once. Let's take a minute and say, okay, this is us. This is God. What are the pressures we're feeling here at the organization at this moment? And have the group be a group discussion on it. In other words, let individuals list pressures that they think the group is feeling. All right, let's look at what we're doing right now. And let's prioritize those. And you can also prioritize those. This is fun, too, to say, all right, of all the things that are going well, what is this going best? What's the most, and you can circle, what are the, you know, the key areas that are doing well, and you go again like this and like this, and then pretty soon you say, of all the things that are going well, man, that is just going extremely well. This is our biggest problem. Now, how do we bring any of this resource to bear on that one? In other words, can we take part of the strength here? How do we use this strength to help deal with that struggle? Within the organization, that often actually works fairly well. But you can use it as a group to identify the strengths and struggles within the pressures within an organization as well. Now, just for what it's worth, about 6 months ago, I thought, is there a way to do an electronic version of this? And so I basically sat down and I worked out what are the categories that typically are the pressures, and mine would be different than yours, but what are the pressure points that I have, And then I did the red and green thing, and this is the way it turned out. And what I'm saying to you is not you should do what I do in terms of what the categories are, but what are the areas in your life that are around you that either cause pressure or are good points? And then here's the God and Cheryl and me. It says in everything give thanks. So I put a thank you under here. But thank you for everything. Everything that's happening here is happening for a reason. Help me to see the reason. So I put God and thank you, God, that all of this is happening. And then I put the categories there that have often been either strengths or struggles. And so I carry this with me. And on the plane over, I was looking at it again as to what's changed, what's a heavier pressure. I still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 red areas that are areas that are struggle areas or pressure areas. But I can then make those all caps or bold them, or it's like, and so instead of redrawing it every month, I can do this if I want to. But I tell you the honest truth, if I get to feeling pressure, I'll go back to the drawing it from scratch, because it's helped me so many times. I maybe update this, but I go back to that because it's been so helpful to me as a tool. What questions might you have about anything we've talked about so far on this one? Any questions on this? Over the last 15 years, I've probably done it on an average of every other month. Not every day, not every week, but probably every other month, every 60 days or so. The pressure builds up, and I want to see it on paper again. The question is, if it's an area of your, if one of the areas of your greatest stress is something you can't change, do I have a strategy of dealing with it over time? I'd say, first of all, you basically look and say, I'd basically draw this and do something like that. I say, whenever I come back to it, I say, God has to deal with it because I can't. I have zero control over it. Therefore, I have zero control. Therefore, God is in control of it, but I'm not. And that's it. And then to basically say, I'll pray for it and wait for an opening to be able to do something if I'm asked. But until I'm asked, I have to just let it rest. And just by saying, by the way, there's another magic word that would come in handy right here. And it's a word that particularly people who have a lot of ideas need this word. And that's the word someday. You need to take your ideas you're going to develop in the next 90 days, year, 2 years, something like that, and then always have a someday category for ideas that aren't really mature yet. They're not really ready to expose to people, but you don't want to forget them. That someday word is really magic for an idea person. But you could also put the word someday right here. Someday I believe this or that will come true. Someday I still believe this person will come back to the Lord. Someday I believe that, you know, that will be dealt with. And Lord, in your timing, in your perfect timing, help me to have faith to believe that. Help me to have faith to believe that you are in control of it. Because you know what the biggest struggle I believe for Christian people is? I'm going to tell you something. It's going to surprise you. I think the biggest struggle for the Christians in this room is to actually believe that God exists. Not to believe it academically, but to believe it. Because when we believe it, it's so much easier to let that rest with Him. But when it's hard to believe He's there, we want to take it over and control it again. And I say, Lord, help my unbelief at this moment. That someday, in your timing, you'll deal with it. Is the best I would have on it. Mm-hmm. Other questions? Now, let me ask you here, now, before we have to move on. What is the greatest pressure in your life? When I ask you at the beginning, What's the greatest stress or pressure in your life at the moment? Do you see that if it's here, but it's still roaming around your head like a grocery list, you see what kind of trouble you're in? But if you can get it on a paper like this and see it in the context, in the perspective of all the other things that are good and bad, it really helps. Now, let me tell you one other secret. This is phenomenally important. Whenever you or a group gets tired, and you think, well, I'm getting tired here. The group, the team is getting tired of wrestling with the pressures. We're getting tired. Whenever the word tired hits your head at all, stop looking forward. Start looking backward. What I mean by that is, let's say you're, again, a mountain climber climbing the hill, and the hill is 10,000 feet high. And you're up 2,000 feet, and you're up here. If people keep saying, look to the top of the hill, how are you going to reach your goal? You know, it's like, go, you can make it, you can make it. It gives you a pep talk. Your legs feel like iron. I don't think I can make it, Cliff, dear. They feel like lead. It's like, I can't do it. I can't get there from here. But if you'll simply stop and look back for 10 minutes about how far you've come, take a deep breath and show your team how far we've already come. Let them relax. Let them enjoy how far you've already come. For 10 minutes in a team meeting, make a list of all the things you've done right. Make sure of the progress we've had so far this year. If you'll let the team rest for 10 minutes, they'll be ready to go at least to here. Maybe not the whole rest of the way, but at least to here. They'd be ready to go another 1,000 feet or 500 feet to rest again. But when you get up here and you look back, we've come, isn't this pretty? We've come 2,000 feet. This is amazing. We've made a lot of, I didn't realize what it looked like from up here. This is great. But if you stop and rest for a minute and look back, whenever, again, tired, look back. Energized, look forward. It really does help. And it helps not only your team, it helps you. If you're tired today, if you say, you know what, Bob, I came to this conference tired. I'm tired. Right now I've been working so hard, so many long days and short nights. I'm tired. You talk about this stuff, and I'm so tired, I can't even hardly imagine even applying it. I'm so tired. Stop at this conference and look back. Look at the last year. Make a list of all the things you've done right this year. And what you're going to find is you take a deep breath and look at that, you begin finding your energy come back. Other questions? By the way, whenever you're counseling and a person registers tired, it's not just your team and yourself, it's your counselees. Whenever you're counseling someone, they just say, I'm just so tired, Pastor. I'm just so tired, friend. I'm just so tired. What you do is you say, look, I'm going to go down to the restroom for a minute. Would you make a list of all the things you've done right in the last year while I'm gone? You get back and they made this long list. They don't feel as tired. They really don't. It's amazing. The tired lets up. Now, it still means you need to rest to get caught up, but looking back really does help. Other questions?